Thanks, Brother Gary. I thought I'd sat down again. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Happy to be with you again and to come and just share the word of the Lord. Praise God. It's hearing the first hymns that were sung this evening, I kind of think I'm in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Talking about when upon life's billows your tempest tossed and love lifting me. Praise God. And so it's just a little thought I've got, just a small little message this evening. I know we're going to have a little fellowship after the service, so I don't want to keep you too long. And of course, we've got two services to get through tomorrow. Sounds like it's an ordeal, doesn't it? But it's, I don't mean it like that, but it's, and I certainly hope it's not an ordeal. Praise God. But I want to bring two little thoughts tomorrow, which I've had on my heart for quite a while, and which I'd like to share. They'll be a little bit longer than the message I'm going to share with you tonight, but I also feel that I'd like to bring this little thought, this little message this evening to share with you, and just see how the Lord leads. I greet you all, as I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust everyone's well. There's one thing that wherever you go and preach, whoever you preach to, there's one thing is certain amongst God's people. We're a needy people. But I think that's a good way to be. You know, the Bible speaks of the church in the last days, which makes a great boast, but it's a wrong boast. It says, I've need of nothing. And when you get to a condition or a place like that, you're in a bad place. Because I think God wants a needy people. And if you have a need, then he can help you. And if you recognize your need, then he can help you. And I think God wants us to be needy people and always looking to him, and more so as we see the day approaching. And we realize now, surely, we don't have to labor the fact that we're living in the last days. And I really believe that when, you know, that we come towards a catching away of of his church from this earth, things are going to very quickly increase. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. I always used to think that meant soon. But really, it doesn't mean that. It means quickly. That when that coming starts, it's going to be very, very quick. It'll be just one event after the other, just very, very quick to the catching away of his church. And that's the great hope and the great joy of his people today. And that's what we're looking forward to. There's nothing else to look forward to in this life, is there really, but just to the coming of the Lord. And that's a great joy for a Christian to have, is that Jesus is coming and all the signs are forecasting that. Praise the Lord. And I just desire to be in that catching away. Praise the Lord. Be a wonderful time, won't it? But the opportunity that we have now, as while we're here, is to serve him. And there's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing better you can do. There's nothing greater in life than to serve the Lord and do the will of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples there when he was upon the earth, my meat and drink is to do the will of him that sent me. And I believe that should be the desire of God's people, Lord, to do the will of the Lord. I was just thinking, I was sharing yesterday, it's going to be a terrible thing, isn't it, with so many people that are going to stand before the Lord on that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name and done many wonderful works? And wouldn't it be a terrible thing to hear that the Lord say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That would be a terrible thing. So I don't want to be in that group. I just want to be in the group that's done. I hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, praise God, enter into the joy of the Lord. And I trust that will be the testimony of each one of us this evening. Praise God, amen. So let's go to the scriptures, shall we? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And we'll begin reading at verse 22. And amen, praise God. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the scriptures and speak upon thy word for a few moments, we just pray for your help. We just pray that the Holy Ghost would come and break thy word unto us, Father. Lord, we know, Lord, it needs it needs your unction, your inspiration, Lord, to preach your word. It needs the Holy Ghost to receive your word, Father. And so we pray that your presence shall be among us, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to receive the words which are spoken, Lord. I pray, Father, the needs that are in this place, that, Lord, you'll meet every need, Lord. Every heart's cry, Lord, that goes before you this day, Lord, just grant it, Lord, we pray. We pray you'll meet with your children, Lord. Maybe it just be for one person, but then so be it, Lord. Whatever that is, Father, we commit it to you, Lord, and pray, oh God, thy will is done. Take these words now, Father, we pray, and quicken them to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 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 God bless you. Praise the Lord. So like I say, just for a few moments, I'd like to speak on this little thought. It's a message I'd like to call "When Jesus Speaks to the Storm." Praise the Lord. When Jesus speaks to the storm. You know, when he does speak to the storm has to cease. Praise the Lord. When he speaks to the storm, it's got to cease. Whenever Jesus speaks, it's got to be that way. Whatever he says, it's got to be that way. You know, the scriptures, we go through the word of God, and there are many great things said in the scriptures, many great predictions in the word of God. And every one of them, praise the Lord, is going to come to pass. There's nothing going to stop it. You see, unbelief is not going to stop God. There's never been a time, I don't guess, in history, as we come to the climax of the ages, really, and all the spirits all down through the ages all just gather together for one last onslaught against God and against his truth. But it's not going to make any difference to God's word, praise God. It's not going to make any difference to what God has declared in his word. It is absolutely going to come to pass. There's nothing going to stop it. And we can have a confidence in a God like that, that what he has said regarding world events, regarding the conditions of the time, will come to pass. Well, how much greater can we take that to our own personal lives and understand that whatever he's decreed or declared in your life and in my life is going to come to pass? There's nothing going to stop it. When Jesus speaks or says it, it's going to come to pass. Like he spoke to the disciples there and they got into that boat there. Let us go to the other side.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, if that's what he said, that's the way it was going to be. There was nothing going to stop that. And I like what the scripture says there. When he got into the boat, the disciples sat out there. Jesus went down into the boat there and laid down and went to sleep. Because regardless of whether he was asleep or whether he was awake, they were going to the other side. Praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing to think in your life and in my life, that whatever God says, we can have comfort in it that it's going to come to pass. It doesn't really matter how many storms come or how much the devil gets into things or situations or circumstances. It'll be just the way the Lord said it.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, those disciples could not have been in a safer place. They couldn't have. That was the safest place they could have ever been. They were safer in that boat with Jesus, whether he was asleep or awake. It didn't really matter as long as Jesus was there. Praise God. So whether he's sleeping or whether he's waking, as long as Jesus is there, you can be in no safer place. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we go through life and sometimes we pray and we call on God. We don't get an answer. But as long as Jesus is there, whether he's answering or whether he's not, whether he's moving or whether he's still, as long as Jesus is there, praise the Lord, there can be no safer place. There can be no safer place. It doesn't matter what comes your way and my way. You say, well, I prayed. I just don't seem to be able to get anywhere with God. But as long as you're in Christ, you know, you'll go through times like that in your Christian life and your Christian experience. You'll go through times and places where you don't feel your prayers are getting answered. You don't feel you're getting anywhere. It just seems like God's so far away. But if you're in Christ, if you've had that new birth, if you're really born again of the Spirit of God, praise the Lord, regardless of how you're feeling, regardless of how it's looking, regardless of what your circumstances are telling you,
Praise the Lord, as long as Jesus is there, there's no safer place you can be. There's no greater place you can be. Praise the Lord. You know, it seems to be today that we're living in a quietening time. I might call it a dearth. Maybe that's the wrong word to use, but it just seems to be that way. And I go to the scriptures, and sometimes I like to kind of identify myself where it says in the word of God of those disciples, when Jesus spoke about those virgins, interesting. He said they all slumbered and slept. And sometimes I get that, I have to testify to that. I say, when I'm in prayer before the Lord, I say, well, Lord, I feel that's where I'm at. I just feel that's where I'm at in my own life, that they all slumbered and slept. But regardless of that, as long as we're with Christ, as long as we're in Christ, regardless of our condition or what we feel our condition to be, praise the Lord, there's a time coming when there's going to be a shout, hallelujah,
amen,
and they're all going to rise. Praise the Lord. And I pray that let me be in that group that rises, not only with oil in my lamp, but oil in my vessel to go to meet the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So regardless of the conditions we might be in or we might think we're in, as long as Jesus is there, hallelujah, there can be no safer place. There can be no greater place. Praise the Lord. Now, as those disciples were in that boat and going out, and then that storm hit, that storm was real. In fact, that storm was more than just an ordinary storm. I believe that storm was a spiritual storm. And I believe that we're God's children tonight, as we speak among ourselves, we can identify with that kind of a storm. We can identify with, the world goes through trials. Everybody in life goes through trials. But the trials that come to a child of God, the trials that come to you and me, they're just a little bit different because they're spiritual. You know, the devil gets into those trials. The devil gets into those situations. The devil gets into those circumstances. And let me tell you something. He creates a storm. He creates something just like we can testify as those disciples there. We get in jeopardy. We get in fear. And we just wonder what it's all about. But hallelujah, regardless of where they were at, Jesus was there.
Amen.
And no matter the trials that come your way, the situations that come your way, the circumstances that come your way, as long as Jesus is there, hallelujah, all is going to be well. You ever think about that? I got to thinking about that. I thought, why did Jesus go to sleep? Because there was such a control. There was such a peace that he declared and said, let's go to the other side. Nothing was coming that was going to sink that boat. There weren't enough devils in hell to whip up a storm big enough that was going to sink that boat. There were not enough powers in hell that were going to send something that was going to cause that boat to sink, because he'd already declared.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He'd already declared, let's go to the other side.
Amen.
And oh, we could take that for our own life today.
Right.
We could take that for our own situation, our own circumstance. When you think, where are we or where am I with the way things are going? But let me tell you something. He's already declared. He's already spoken. It is well. Praise the Lord. We can rest in that. We can have comfort in that. Praise the Lord. You said, I prayed, I can't get an answer. I go to church, I can't seem to feel his presence. I read my Bible, I just can't seem to get nothing. But let me say something, if you're a child of God and Jesus is there, whether he's speaking or whether he's not, all's going to be well. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to read some scriptures to you just for a moment. Go with me, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 93. And we want to notice something here. Psalm 93. And I'd like to read from verse 3 and 4. But before I do that, I want to quote also Psalm 89, verse 9, where it declares this. The scripture says, thou rulest the raging of the sea.
Amen.
When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Hallelujah. Now, apart from that being a great miracle with those disciples in the boat there on that day on Galilee with Jesus there, that was also a great declaration showing just who Jesus Christ was. Because the psalmist is speaking of God here. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. As I say, apart from being a great miracle, it was a great testimony to who Jesus Christ was and is. Praise the Lord. He was a vindication of the scripture. Everything Jesus did vindicated who he was. He didn't do anything outside of his word. I had a preacher say, God can do something outside of his word. I got to thinking about that. I thought, well, why should he? If he does something outside of his word, he does something outside of himself. God does not need to do anything outside of his word, because his word is himself. His word is God. That's why we have to be wary in this day where many people will come and say certain things and declare certain things. But unless it's got its foundation in the scripture, unless it has its resting place in the word of God, you have a right. I have a right to question it. Everything that God does as a basis, as a foundation in his word, is it because it's who he is. Praise the Lord. And when you can see it in the word of God, no matter how crazy it looks, if you find its resting place in the scripture, its foundation in the scripture, then it's absolutely, you can rest your soul on it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I quote that scripture. Let me say it again. Psalm 89, verse 9. Thou rulest. Hallelujah. Thou rulest. In other words, he's king over it all. He's God over it all. Satan can get into that creation. Satan can cause all kinds of disturbance. But remember, he is the one that rules. Amen. Hallelujah. He rules his creation. He rules your life and he rules my life. Praise the Lord. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, and remember, they will rise, thou stillest them. Praise the Lord. And then we notice something in Psalm 93. And I'd like to read verses 3 and verses 4. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Notice the voice of the floods. Floods have a voice. And that voice is the waves. Now think of this naturally, but also think of this spiritually. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. So waves have a voice. And they pound you and they pound me. Spiritually, those waves come against us. And we're living in a time today when we can say the floods have, just as the psalmist said, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. Notice the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, when the enemy shall come in like a flood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So no matter how much those floods lift up their voice, praise God, the Bible says when the Spirit, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when those waves lift up their voice, then the Spirit of the Lord, praise God, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now there's only one standard that will stand against those waves. There's only one standard that will stand against those floods, and that is the Spirit of the Lord. When you try and fight it in your own strength, when you try and deal with it in your own strength or by your own ability or by your own wisdom, you are going to fail. But God has sent the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's why he told his disciples, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Because he knew that it was going to take more than human wisdom, more than human intellect, more than human intelligence. Oh, how much trouble we'd save ourselves if we stop trying to fight our own battles by our own means and by our own strength or by our own abilities now and relied upon the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Relied upon the Spirit of God. Well, that's the message of the church ages. Showing us that when you get away from that, then you're going to be in trouble. When the church got away from the leadership of the Holy Ghost, when it moved away from God leading his church and controlling his church, it became just intellectual and human, and eventually got to a place where the Bible says it plumbed the very depths of Satan. So we need the Holy Ghost. And I'm so glad today that God made the promise. And if God makes a promise, it's absolutely going to come to pass. You can rest on it. No matter how you're feeling about it, God said it. And God will always stand by his word. No man will ever be able to come along and say, Lord, you did not honor your word. No person's ever going to be able to come along and say, Lord, I prayed, but you didn't answer. God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. Oh, in a day that we're living, there's so much broken promises. There's so much nonsense talk. There's so many people chasing after vain hopes. But God has given you a hope. He's given me a hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we can rest in his precious word. It becomes more real to me today than it's ever been. Is what God says in his word. You know, it's amazing how many Christians today are running after one religious fix after the next. You know, you see it on the internet all the time. Chasing this. Oh, somebody's had a prophecy. What's going to happen in 2024? What God showed me for the oncoming year. It's nonsense. And people get caught up with that. And so what happens is they're just chasing after the next revelation. But don't they ever stop to think, hey, none of this is coming to pass. None of what is being told here is coming to pass. And these people don't have any shame. They just lie low for a while and come back with some more nonsense. Now that's the truth, isn't it?
Amen.
We're not meant to live like that. Now don't get me wrong. I believe in prophecy. I believe in supernatural dreams and all the rest of it. But there's one sure foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That we can stand on. And that's the scripture.
Amen.
That's the word of God.
Amen.
It will never fail. Heavens and earth will pass away.
Amen.
But my word shall not fail.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have a sure foundation. The Bible said a more sure word of prophecy that we can go to. As I say, I believe in dreams. I believe in all those supernatural things. But the devil can get into all of that and run ragged with it. See, and that's why so many Christians. And then what happens when it doesn't come to pass? They turn around and say it's not true. They say, oh, God's. But let me tell you something. It's not God that's not true. It's their interpretation that's not true. It's their ideas that are not true. But God's word cannot fail. When those experiences line up with the word of God, so be it. Amen. Praise God. It's coming to pass. I believe it. And I'll stand upon that. But if you get caught up in all of that, you're going to be into trouble. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, in other words, when those floods lift up their voice, think about this spiritual now, coming into your life, coming into your home, coming into your situation there. When the floods lift up their voice, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier. I like that. The Lord on high is mightier. Notice now, than the noise of many waters. Than the noise of many waters. We're told about the devil today. He's going around as a roaring lion. So he can make a lot of noise. Now I like to think of that as we look at that scripture there. Than the noise of many waters. You know, in the scripture, people are likened to waters.
Right.
In type. Over in the book of Revelation, where the horse city, the Bible tells us in the 17th chapter of Revelation, he said, the waters that thou sawest are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations. So waters are likened to people. Has there ever been a time that has been, you know, you turn on your TV, you pick up a newspaper, look at your phone. We're bombarded by all kinds of nonsense. Or let me say it like this, by a noise of many waters. And it's just a constant bombardment, a media bombardment, a news bombardment. And it's all just a pack of lies. And if you get into that or looking at that and get so caught up with it, it'll bring you into a place of depression. It'll bring you into a place of negativity. It won't do you any good. You know, and sometimes you feel yourself, I feel it myself, sometimes checked. Get away from that. Keep away from it, because it's not going to help you. It's not going to do any good. And I like what the scripture says. Those mighty waters are all kinds of things being said today, all kinds of things being declared today. But the Bible said the Lord on high, praise the Lord, the Lord on high is mightier than all of this nonsense, than all of this stuff that we're being bombarded with today, than all of this stuff. The fact of it is we can't get away from it. It's there all the time. But praise God, the scripture says the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Praise his holy name. Notice, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And as I said, those waves are likened unto voices there, bombarding God's people and bombarding God's children. Praise be to God. Amen. So as we look at this and go on a little bit further, let's look at something else now. As I say, when the Lord says, let's go to, that's why he could go to sleep. That's why he could sleep through a storm. He had such a peace there because he knew he was going there. He knew that if he was going to wake up, he'd be on the other side. When the disciples got all panicked and they were in jeopardy. Now, let me tell you something. That storm was real. It was so real. It was so powerful that men that were used to fishing on that lake and seeing many storms, fear got into their heart. Sometimes like it does in you and me. Fear got into their heart. They thought they were going to die. So they have to go and wake Jesus there. And you know, we know the rebuke as he stands there and says, you of little faith. If they'd have just remembered, praise God, if they'd have just stopped and thought, what did he say? That'd be a good thing for you and me. When we sometimes go through trials and things come our way, and it just looks like we're going to be swamped over and just taken, caught up in it all. If we could just stop and think, praise God, what did he say? What did he say in his word? What did he promise in his word? What did he declare in the scripture? If we could just go back to what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Amen. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the Lord got up and rebuked that storm. Excuse me. Now, notice, after he rebuked that storm, and that was a great miracle, but after he rebuked that storm, that didn't mean to say there was never going to be another storm. Notice this now. After the Lord stood there on that boat and looked out at that angry waves and that storm and that wind blowing and rebuked it, and the Bible tells us there was a calm. But that didn't mean to say there was never ever going to be another storm on that lake. That didn't mean to say that those disciples were never going to ever be in another storm on that lake. But what it did say was this, praise the Lord, that if he could deliver you in that storm, hallelujah, if he could bring you through that storm, then he can bring you through the next one.
Amen.
If he could speak peace in that storm, then he can speak peace in the next storm. If he could get you through that storm, he can get you through the next. If he can get you through that trial, he can bring you through the next trial. If he delivered you here, he'll deliver you there. Hallelujah. If he had victory here, he's going to have victory there. You'll never face a storm. You'll never face a trial where Jesus isn't big enough to bring you through it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when those storms, I guess after the Lord had gone down, the disciples full of the Holy Ghost, maybe went back on that lake to fish and the storm come up. And praise God, their minds and thoughts will go back to the time they were in the boat with the Lord. And said, well, praise God, he brought us through that. He can bring us through this. He overcame that. He can overcome this. Praise the Lord, he's the same yesterday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Don't mean to say another, if he got you through that, don't mean to say, you say, oh, I got through another trial. Don't mean to say another trial's not coming your way. You say he brought me through that storm. Well, get ready for another storm coming your way. But remember, if he brought you through that storm, he can bring you through the next one. If he brought you through that trial, he can bring you through the next trial. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. But now watch something. I want you to notice how the enemy works. You know, one thing about the devil, like somebody once said, wouldn't say anything bad about anybody. And they asked the question, what about the devil? Well, the woman said, well, he's a pretty good adversary. Well, that's the truth. He's a very good adversary. And if we tried our own human efforts, our own human means, our own human strength to stand against him, we wouldn't be able to do it. We couldn't do it, but by God's grace, he helped his children. He'll be with his children. But I want you to notice how the devil works now and how the enemy works. I'm so glad we've got these stories in the scripture. I'm so glad we've got these little accounts in the Word of God that we can go to and find strength and be encouraged by the Word of God. Praise God. Notice something. Now, I read to verse 25 there. I want you to notice something. Notice verse 26. Now, Jesus has rebuked the storm. The disciples are worshiping him. They're amazed. They're just saying, well, what manner of man is this? But speaks, and even the winds and the waves, they obey him. So they're worshiping God. They're in awe of him. But notice verse 26. Right after this miracle, right after Jesus has spoken to that storm, and there's peace and there's a calm, we read on in verse 26, it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. Notice verse 27, and there went forth to, and when he went forth to land, now he just sets foot on land now, just gets out of the boat, just sets some foot on land there, the Bible says, and they met him out of the city. The dignitaries of the city? No. The Bible said they met him out of the city. A certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any of the houses, but in the tombs. So after that great miracle, and Jesus has spoken to the storm, and there's a calm, the first thing to meet him as he gets out of the boat and lands on shore there is a legion of demons. Amen. The first thing that he confronts there, the first thing that comes against him is a legion of devils. Let Jesus rebuke the storm in your life. That devil's going to be right there to rob you of the blessing. Let Jesus speak peace into your situation or your circumstance. And let me tell you something, that devil is going to be right there to rob you of that blessing. Let God just do something. Let God move in your life or just something take place in your life where he just does something for you. And let me tell you something, that devil's going to be... You know, you get a good blessing on Sunday or go to church and the Lord really touches you, you get a good blessing. Watch out for Monday. Watch out for the week there. Because that devil is going to be right there to rob you of the blessing you've received. To rob you of what God's done for you. One thing about the devil, he doesn't let up. He just keeps going. And he'll go right to the end. Amen. He's going to be right there to rob you. Now, here's where sometimes where we fail. When we get that blessing from God and God does something for us, he can answer the prayer or something like that. And the enemy comes along. And I remember John told us there, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, he's never changed. That's his tactics. That's the way he operates. You don't need a PhD or to be a genius to know why the devil's coming. He's coming to rob you. He's coming to steal from you. He's coming to kill you. If he can't do it naturally or physically or emotionally or mentally or whatever it is, he'll do it. He will, whatever it is, he's going to do it. He's going to be there to rob you and to steal you and to destroy you. But Jesus said, I am come.
Amen.
Who was Jesus? He was the one that could speak to the storm. Hallelujah. He was the one that could speak to the winds and the waves and command them to be still and to be at peace. Why? Because the Bible says, thou rulest. Hallelujah. He's the ruler. He's in control of it all. Praise God. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the wind was thereof, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Praise the Lord. So that's why the enemy is coming. He's coming to steal from you. He's coming to destroy from you. See, God wants you and me to believe. There's got to be something in a child of God that reaches out to God. You say, well, I'm just going to go to church and go through the motions. That's okay. That's as far as you're going to go. But if there's something in your heart, if there's something deep down in your heart that's crying out to God, then there's a hand there to reach down to take a hold of yours. There's a hand there to reach down and lift you out of the waves.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I never forget many years ago as a young child, I remember God speaking to me. I think this was the first time God ever spoke to me. It was a dream I got as a young, I'd be about 10 years old. And in that dream, I was in the boat with the disciples. And then, just like the story in the Bible, we read about it, Jesus coming walking on the water, and I was getting out of the boat, just like Peter, and walk. Now remember, we look at Peter and we say, oh, he was the disciple that sank. As far as I'm concerned, he was the disciple that got out of the boat. Yep. Praise the Lord. Never mind walking on water. Have you ever tried standing on it? But hallelujah, Peter got out of the boat.
Amen.
And began to walk to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now he got full of fear. He got full of, just like you and just like me there. But hallelujah, he took that step. And if you take that step, let me tell you something. You might meet disappointment. You might meet discouragement. You might meet failure. But I want you to know, hallelujah, there's a hand there.
Amen.
There's a hand there. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
It's going to lift you out of those angry waves.
Amen.
It's going to bring you through. Praise his holy name. First time I had that. I believe that was the first time that God spoke to me, and I believe he was showing me then the life he was calling me to. Praise God. You know, you can't even stand on water unless God calls you to do it. It takes a supernatural hand of God. But I'm so glad there's a supernatural hand. I'm so glad there's a supernatural power that keeps his children, keeps you, and keeps me today. Praise his holy. Oh, if Jesus is lifted up, if Jesus is exalted, we're living in a time today where he's not lifted up, where he's not being exalted. You can go to church today and never hear his name mentioned. You can go to church today, go through a whole sermon, and the name of Jesus Christ isn't mentioned. The preaching of the cross isn't preached. The preaching of the blood of Jesus isn't mentioned. The very foundations of the gospel,
yes,
the very thing that gives the gospel its power, is laid aside. What a day to be in. But oh God, let me lift up Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me declare the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me preach the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me preach the cross of Jesus. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to us which are saved. Here's a man through his life, through his ministry, all those great visions, all those great supernatural experiences, caught up to the third heaven. But can make that great statement, the preaching of the cross is to us which are saved, the power of God. He could say, I've had those great visions, those great experiences, God's done and seen many supernatural things, but the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the cross, God forbid, said Paul, that I should glory, save in the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Save in the cross of Jesus my Lord, whereby I'm crucified to the world and the world's crucified to me. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise it. You know, when Jesus comes, it might not be very many. I don't want to get into tomorrow's sermon now, but it might not be very many. But there'll be a people here declaring the name of Jesus Christ. There'll be a church that's lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. There'll be a church that are pointing people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, let that be me. Let that be you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But here's where we sometimes fail. Like I say, when we get a touch from God, a blessing from God, and God does something for us, and the devil's right there to rob us, what happens? We come along and say, you know what? I mustn't have had any faith. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I'm backslid. But you've got to recognize that's the devil there trying to rob you of the blessing. That's the devil lying to you to try and steal that blessing from you, to try and take it from you. You say, well, how are you going to do that? How are we going to overcome that? You've got to remember what Jesus said. Or if those disciples could have only remembered what Jesus said. If those disciples could only thought back when the winds were blowing and the waves were beating against that little boat. Remember, he said, let's go to the other side. Now he's sleeping. Now he's not awake there. But hallelujah, he's in the boat with us. That's all that matters. Whether he's speaking or whether he's not. Whether he's sleeping or whether he's awake. It don't matter as long as he's in the boat. As long as he's there with us, and as long as he's there with you, my brother, as long as he's there with you, my sister, as long as Jesus is there, hallelujah, we're going to the other side.
Amen.
We're going to the other side. Don't listen to that lie of the devil. Don't look at that situation, that circumstance you're facing. Just remember what he said. Remember what he said. Praise be to God. You say, I'm sick, then remember the Bible said he's Jehovah that heals you. I got a need. Remember, he's Jehovah Jireh. I'm going through a bad time. Remember, he's the Lord that makes a way. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. Just stand upon his word. Stand upon his promise. Notice also this. The Lord, when he got out of that boat and landed on the other side, those devils are there to meet him. Remember, he was in the right place. And if you're in the right place where God wants you to be, then look at the reaction of the devils. The Bible said those devils fell down before him. Praise the Lord. In fact, let's just read that on. It says, and when he went forth, let's look at 28. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee? Notice, he fell down before him. When you're where God wants you to be, let me tell you something. You know, the devil is subservient to you. Those devils fell down before Jesus and said, have you come to torment us before our time? Why? They couldn't stand before him. When you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, there's no devil's going to stand. He might come against you, but he's not going to be able to stand against you. Like those devils came against Jesus. The Bible says they fell down and said, what are we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee. So now the devils are asking for not to be tormented. Torment me not. Praise the Lord. Devils fall at the feet of Jesus. Error flees from truth. Darkness flees from light.
Amen.
Lies cannot stand before truth. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And where God wants you and me to be, praise the Lord. Then those devils are subject to you. Remember the disciples, they came back at the first preaching tour, and they were rejoicing and said, that, you know, the devils are subject to us. Jesus said, don't rejoice about that. He said, just rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. It's just a short little message tonight. I wanted to share. We can get a little bit deeper tomorrow, but praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, the floods have lifted up their voice. The waves, Lord, come against your children. They come against the home. They come against our minds. They come against our physical bodies, Lord. They come against our finances. But hallelujah, the Lord on high is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. Oh God, Lord, maybe there's some here tonight, Lord, just almost got to a place where they feel like they're engulfed and going under. But Lord, if we could just remember and stop and think, you're in the boat with us, Lord. You're in that place, Lord, you're there. Lord, we might pray and not get an answer. We might pray and not sense your presence. But Lord, you made a promise in your word. You made a promise in the scriptures. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't fail you nor forsake you. So Lord, you're there. God, I just pray that you'll help us, Lord. Help each one of thy children this night, Lord. Maybe there's some listening in, Lord. Speak to their hearts, Lord. If the waves have lifted up their voice in their life, Lord, if the storms have come to their homes, oh God, then may they remember that your word is declared. The Lord on high is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. That sickness will go into that home. That fear that will go to that heart. That depression that would seek to overwhelm that life. The Lord on high is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. Lord, let us know. Let us know, God. Let us know, God, that you're in the boat. And whether you're awake or asleep, it doesn't matter. Whether we hear from you, whether we don't, Lord, it doesn't matter. Just let us know in our heart that you're in the boat and that you've spoken. We're going to the other side. Amen. You're bringing your children through, Lord. You're taking your children over, Lord. We just thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. And now I just commit these few words into your hand and ask thy blessings upon your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. Shall we just sing that hymn again? We sang it at the beginning. Love lifted me. Praise God. Praise God, it was love. Amen.
in that boat with the disciples. Praise the Lord. I guess Peter and Andrew and John and James and Philip and all those disciples, they could sing this song tonight. Praise God. They could testify it. Love lifted me out of the angry waves. Love lifted me and took me to the other side. They went through martyrdom, they went through terrible things, but love lifted me. Praise the Lord. Because he said, we're going to the other side. Praise Lord. Praise his holy name. And you know this, brothers and sisters, we're going somewhere. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. This isn't ending it. We're just on a journey now. Praise God. We're going to the other side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you, friends. I was sinking deep in sin. The peace was sure.
Satisfy every need.